at her.
I'll stay with your mother.
If my mother hadn't been picturing her as her future daughter-in-law before, she sure was now. I could practically see stars pop up in her eyes as she envisioned what her future grandbabies would look like. I didn't want to leave Scarlett alone with her. God knew what questions she'd ask when I left the room. But it would be awkward to bring Scarlett into my father's hospital room when they'd never met. I cast an apologetic glance at Scarlett, who gave me a reassuring nod. Luckily, I tracked down a nurse quickly, and after a bit of back and forth, they let me in to see him. My father's room was halfway down the hall from where my mother had been sitting. He had his eyes closed when I entered, but he opened them at the sound of the door clicking shut. Tubes snaked around his torso, and a nearby monitor beeped with a steady rhythm. Relief loosened the fist around my chest at the sound of those beeps. He was alive. My mother had said as much, but I'd needed to see it for myself.
That was fast,
he said as I came up beside him. His voice was a hoarse shadow of its usual boom. I have a lot of fast cars, he snorted. How are you feeling? I asked. I tried not to notice how small he looked in the hospital bed, or how the color of his face matched the white sheets.
I'm fine, he said with a dismissive grunt. This whole thing is ridiculous. I should be home by now, but they insist on keeping me here for 48 hours. They said I needed monitoring, whatever that means. It's unnecessary horseshit.
You had a heart attack over breakfast, I reminded him. I'd say the monitoring is necessary.
Yes, well, we can't all have healthy starts to the day, can we?
We stared at each other. A beat of surprise passed before it dissolved into laughter, and the fist in my chest loosened another inch. I couldn't remember the last time my father and I laughed around each other. Before Black Castle, for sure. Maybe even before I joined the Premier League.
And you drove here from London?
He asked. I nodded. He grunted again, which was as close to sentimental as he'd get. My father wasn't a fan of hugs, thank yous, or emotions in general. The monitor's beeps punctuated the renewed silence between us. Somewhere along the way, we'd lost the ability to talk to each other, and one bout of shared amusement didn't change that. My father's eyes drifted toward the front of the room and narrowed.
Who's the girl with your mother?
I followed his gaze to where Scarlett and my mother were talking. They'd migrated from their original spot down the hall, and we had a perfect view of them through the window.
That's Scarlett, I said.
She's a friend.
Scarlett?
A frown pinched between his brows.
Isn't that the name of your trainer this summer?
Of course, he remembered that piece of information. Yes, I admitted. She's that too. My father's attention snapped back to me.
Do all trainers hang out with their athletes at the hospital over the weekend?
I stiffened at his tone. Whereas my mother was constantly hounding me to give her grandchildren, my father thought love and relationships were too big a distraction. I'd agreed with him in theory, but that was before I met Scarlett.
I'd hardly call this hanging out, I said evenly. Like I said, we're also friends. She was with me when I got the call, and she was kind enough to accompany me here.
My father stared at me. Whatever he saw in my face had his face creasing with disbelief.
Oh, don't tell me.
He leaned his head back, his expression so pained, one would think he was suffering another cardiac event.
Don't tell me you went and slept with your bloody trainer.
My shoulders locked at his visible derision. It's not like that. I hated how sleazy he made it sound. Like I'd picked her up at the pub and brought her back to my place for a quick shag.
The bloody hell it isn't!
Anger strengthened my father's voice.
What have I told you from the start? Getting involved with anyone at this stage of your career is not a good idea. It'll have your head all twisted when you need focus. Look at your last season. Number two, and that was before you sacked your trainer. How are you going to be number one when you're too busy thinking about getting off to play the game?
Trust my father to rant about my performance right after a heart attack. If he weren't lying in a hospital bed right now, I'd snap back. As it was, my jaw ached from how hard I was clenching my teeth. Don't take the bait.
Your focus this summer should be on improving your game on the pitch, not anywhere else, he growled. If you're going to play for that team, you might as well win. I will not have a loser and a tra-. He abruptly cut himself off. My pulse rocketed. The lights in the room seemed to flare, whitening the edges of my vision until his face was all I saw. And a what? His lips thinned in response. Say it, Dad. My vow to ignore his bait sank beneath a surge of adrenaline. You will not have a loser and a traitor in your house, right? I didn't say that. You were about to. Blood roared in my ears. It was one thing to hear strangers call me a traitor. It was another to hear my own father almost say it. Be honest. Do you actually want me to win? What the hell are you talking about? Of course I do. I'm not so sure. This wasn't the place for this conversation, but I couldn't stop the flood from consuming what was left of our civility. It was here, in this garishly lit room with its monitors and sterile floors, that my ugliest thoughts spilled out. I think a part of you secretly hopes I'll lose, because if I lose, it'll validate what you said about how I never should have left Holchester in the first place. If I win, that means Holchester lost, and you have never rooted against them. So tell me, Dad, at the end of the day, if you had to choose, who will it be? Your team or your son? I didn't raise my voice. I didn't lose my temper, but my words reverberated through the air with an intensity that caused my father's face to flush. Crimson washed over his skin like blood seeping into snow. The heart monitor's beeps increased in frequency until they blended into a stream of noise instead of disparate sounds. He didn't respond. He didn't have to. We both knew what his answer was. Less than a minute later, the door flew open and the nurse charged in with a scowl. She scolded me thoroughly for raising my father's heart rate and promptly kicked me out. I muttered an apology and left. My own heart slammed against my ribcage with bruising force. If you had to choose, who will it be? Your team or your son? Anyone who wasn't familiar with Holchester football fan culture would say it was a ridiculous question and the family was the obvious answer. But I'd seen men go to prison for beating another senseless over a missed penalty kick. Others have taken out bank loans to buy merch and follow the team around the world. For some people, football mattered more than anything else. I had a sinking suspicion my father was one of them.
What happened?
My mother asked when I stepped into the hall. Her worried eyes travelled from my face to my father's room and back again. She must have heard the nurse yelling at me.
What did he say to you?
What did he say to me? Not what did I say to him. As much as she loved my father, she was well aware of his faults and our long-running dynamic. The usual. I didn't look at Scarlett, who stood quietly next to my mother. I was too embarrassed by the family drama. I'm sorry, I should have kept my cool. I know how he can get, and he just had a heart attack. I shouldn't have risen to the bait. My mother glanced at the window again.
He'll be okay.
Anxiety threaded her voice, but she didn't press for more details.
I know how your father can get too.
She touched my arm with a gentle hand.
Why don't you and Scarlett go to our house and freshen up? There's no use having all three of us wait around when his condition is stable. I'll stay and call you if anything changes.
Are you sure? It would be nice to change into a more day-appropriate outfit. I kept an emergency stash of clothes at my parents' house for occasions just like this.
Yes. I need someone to bring me a change of clothes and lunch anyway. Don't make me eat hospital canteen food.
I cracked a real smile this time. Change of clothes and lunch. Got it.
Don't rush back,
my mother warned.
I don't need you getting a speeding ticket.
She gave me a gentle shove towards Scarlett.
Now go.
So we went.
Chapter 25. Scarlett. I wasn't sure what to expect from Asher's childhood home. A giant football-shaped halo, maybe, or some other sign that it once housed a future superstar. Instead, I was greeted with a normal house that looked like every other on the block. White window frames, brick walls, a little black gate separating the front garden from the sidewalk.
I'm sorry, this probably wasn't how you imagined spending your Saturday,
Asher said ruefully as he unlocked the front door. I didn't have anything special planned, and I've never been to Holchester, so I actually have to thank you for the free trip, I said, earning myself a quick smile. I hesitated, then asked more softly, How are you feeling? He didn't tell me what happened in his father's hospital room, and I didn't ask. However, the argument had clearly taken a toll on him. His eyes lacked their usual sparkle, and exhaustion darkened the grooves of his face. I wasn't used to seeing him so subdued. The sight sent an unexpected pang through my chest.
When I figure it out, I'll let you know,
he said with a short laugh.
Coming home is always an experience. I hope my mother didn't scare you off too badly with her interrogation.
No, she was lovely. Pippa had startled me with her initial barrage of questions, but we had a nice chat while Asher was with his father. I could tell she truly loved her son and wanted what was best for him, even if she was a bit intense about the grandchildren thing. But she kept mentioning something about me and Hedy Lamarr.
Famous movie star from the 40s,
Asher said.
My mum's a big fan of classic Hollywood. You look a lot like Hedy.
I'll take it as a compliment. Looking like a movie star could only be a good thing, right?
You should.
His mouth quirked.
She's probably imagining little Lamarr clones running around her back garden right now.
I huffed out a laugh even as my heart tripped at the thought of having babies with him. It was way too early to think about that, considering we hadn't even clarified our relationship status yet. But for the briefest of moments, I allowed myself to indulge in the fantasy. The prospect of marriage and children with Asher wasn't as scary as I'd thought it'd be, which was worrisome in and of itself. We'd had sex once. I was not going to be the person who started planning her wedding in a state of orgasm-fueled delusion. So I shoved the image of little green-eyed babies to the back of my mind as he showed me the house. It was cozy and charmingly lived in, with family photos strewn across various surfaces and an array of tchotchkes from France, Italy, Australia, and other holiday destinations. However, the overwhelming decor theme was football, especially in the den and front hall. I felt like I was walking through a Holchester FC gift shop. You weren't kidding when you said your dad's a Holchester fan, I said, equal parts impressed and alarmed. Posters of the team decorated the walls, the edges curled and yellowing from age and wear. A shirt signed by the entire 2018 team was framed and displayed like the Mona Lisa at the Louvre. Photos of Asher in his Holchester kit lined the mantle along with a miniature gold football. I noticed there were no photos of him in Black Castle colours on display.
Fan? More like fanatic.
Asher didn't look at the mantle on our way past. I suppose. Either way, it seems like today's the day for home tours, I said lightly, hoping to soften the broodiness shadowing his face. It didn't work.
I guess so.
We stopped in front of a plain wooden door toward the back of the house.
This is my childhood room. Don't make fun of it or you'll hurt my feelings.
Something inside me loosened at the hint of his usual humour. Oh my God, did your parents keep it the same all these years? Asher's wince confirmed my suspicions. I walked in, taking in every detail, the blue quilted duvet, the single bed pushed up against the wall beneath the window, the posters of Armstrong, Beckham, and other football greats decorating the walls. It's like a museum, I said, fascinated by the peek into Asher's childhood. I could almost see him sitting on his bed, watching football on the telly and dreaming of the day when he was the one on the screen.
Yeah.
Asher looked around.
You know, I haven't been in here in ages. I usually stay at a hotel when I'm in town, and I never had a reason to come in when I visited my parents.
A touch of nostalgia flitted through his eyes.
10 years and it feels like I never left.
It must feel surreal.
A bit.
He scrubbed a hand over his face.
I'm going to change. Feel free to look around or sit anywhere.
I didn't feel comfortable snooping through his room while he was gone, so I waited on the edge of his bed until he returned. He'd ditched his earlier outfit in favour of a t-shirt and jeans, and he looked mildly more relaxed as he sat next to me. Silence descended, It was a comfortable, companionable quiet, the kind I'd gotten used to during our drive to Holchester. But something simmered beneath the surface, waiting to break free.
Do you remember the day of the storm?
Asher asked.
You asked why I transferred to Blackcastle. You said it couldn't have been only the money.
Of course. I couldn't forget anything about that day if I tried. It was, in many ways, the day that had led us to where we were now.
You were right. I mean, the money was a factor, as was working with Armstrong. But the real reason was I...
He swallowed.
I needed to escape my father.
I fought a knee-jerk response and waited for him to continue at his own pace.
I couldn't stay in the same city as him anymore,
he said.
He'd pushed me to excel at the game my entire life, and I am grateful for it. It played a huge part in getting me to where I am now. But the further I got in my career, the more I felt like I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it for him. Football is my life, but I was slowly losing my love for it. It terrified me. And as much as I liked my team at Holchester, I felt like I was trapped in this bubble where I couldn't breathe.
The sound of a car passing outside muffled his last word, but there was no mistaking the bleakness in his expression.
When Frank Armstrong joined as Blackcastle's manager, I used it as an excuse to transfer,
Asher said.
Still, it took me months to put in the request. If my dad wasn't so fanatic about Holchester, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. But when it comes to football, he's not my father. He's a second coach, and it was too much.
A humorless smile touched his mouth.
Before you say anything, I know what it sounds like. Rich footballer complaining about his father being too hard on him. Boo fucking who? Let me wipe my tears with my money.
That's not what I was going to say. I shook my head. Just because you're privileged in one way doesn't mean you can't struggle in other ways. Yes, he was more fortunate than the majority of people in the world, but I saw where he was coming from. I'd tasted it as a dancer, but I'd never dealt with the level of scrutiny he faced every day. The public only saw the money and glamour. They didn't see the pressures, politics, and power plays behind the scenes. They didn't see the toll those things took on someone's mental health. Rich or not, famous or not, we were all human. You said it took you months to put in the request. What made you bite the bullet? I asked.
It was the match against Chelsea last year.
Asher's mouth flattened.
I scored 3 out of 4 goals. We won. It should have been a great night. But afterward, all my father talked about was the corner I screwed up and the free kick I missed. I should have been celebrating. Instead, I just wanted to scream.
A raw ache took root in my chest. If his father wasn't recovering from a heart attack right now, I'd storm over and give him a piece of my mind.
It wasn't anything I hadn't experienced before, but it was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak.
Asher said.
The whole country, maybe even the whole world, has certain expectations of Asher Donovan. How I should play, who I should date, where I should fucking holiday. I can deal with that. It's what I signed up for. But I'd like a place, just one, where I don't have to be on guard. I thought family would be that place, but it isn't.
The ache intensified. It slid behind my ribcage and wound around my heart, squeezing and squeezing until it was hard to breathe. My parents had encouraged me and Vincent to pursue our talents from a young age. They were competitive, so they constantly tried to outdo each other when I was growing up. Our mother with my ballet lessons, our father with Vincent's football matches. We were the proxies in their long-distance Cold War. But at the end of the day, when I took off my point shoes and Vincent hung up his football boots, we were their children again. Asher didn't have that. If it makes you feel better, I said. I prefer Asher to Asher Donovan. The former was a person, the latter was a brand. I was indifferent about the brand, but I liked the person. A lot. More than I should. He didn't respond, but his throat flexed with a visible swallow. You can't control what the world thinks of you, I said gently. But you can control your actions, and I understand why you transferred. If I were in your shoes, I'd have done the same.
Yeah.
His knee brushed mine when he finally shifted to face me.
I thought you liked structure.
I do, but only on my terms. I'm a hypocrite that way. Ash's laugh scattered the cloud of melancholy, bringing a small sparkle back to his eyes and a smile to my lips.
Self-aware hypocrites are the best kind.
Exactly. Also, anyone who gives you shit for transferring wasn't a real fan in the first place, so screw them. You don't need that negativity in your life. His second laugh was richer and deeper than the first.
If you ever want to switch professions, you should think about being a therapist. You'd be great at it.
No, thanks. I have enough neuroses of my own without dealing with other people's. That being said, I occasionally dole out advice when I'm feeling generous.
So I'm one of the lucky ones.
You are?
Good. I'm glad.
His knee brushed mine again, more purposefully this time, and butterflies erupted in my stomach.
I would hate to lose you.
The air turned thick and syrupy, so sweet I could taste it on the back of my tongue. As your trainer, I said.
As my trainer,
he confirmed, his knee still touching mine. Awareness dripped into the space around us. A low buzz filled my ears, and his innocent childhood bedroom suddenly didn't seem so innocent. Not when his gaze burned like a lit match against my skin and my entire body tingled from his proximity. Drip, drip, drip. We still hadn't discussed last night. It took a back seat to his family emergency, but...
That's enough maudlin talk for the day.
Asher finally pulled away, severing the spell. The butterflies drooped in disappointment.
Otherwise, this will be the most depressing first trip to Holchester ever.
It's not so bad. I rubbed a discreet hand over my thigh and tried to adjust to the new mood. Our conversation vacillated so fast it gave me whiplash. Your father is okay, and I got to visit the Asher Donovan Childhood Bedroom Museum, guided by Asher Donovan himself. Talk about VIP treatment.
Only for you.
He tilted his head toward the mattress.
As a bonus, you get to lay your head on the same pillow I slept on when I was a teen.
I wrinkled my nose. I hope it's been washed since then. I don't need your teenage germs in my hair. Nevertheless, I followed his lead in taking off my shoes and squeezing next to him on the mattress. It was surprisingly comfortable. We both needed the rest after our drive, so we lay side by side on his tiny bed, our legs dangling over the edge, our arms just barely touching. You never talk about your childhood, I said. Not even in interviews. His father was the only topic he brought up from his pre-fame life. I didn't know what Asher had been like in school or whether he'd had other hobbies besides football. I wanted to, though. The day had been filled with nuggets of information and I was starved for more.
You've been following my interviews, darling.
Don't flatter yourself. I paused, then admitted grudgingly. Maybe. The bed shook with his soft laughter.
There's not much to talk about. I was a quiet kid, believe it or not. Life was school, family, and football. I spent most of my free time kicking a ball around in the back garden or at the park with Teddy.
Who's Teddy? The ensuing silence stretched so long I thought he hadn't heard me. I was about to repeat the question when he answered, all traces of amusement gone.
He was my childhood best friend. We grew up next to each other. He loved football as much as I did, and he was better at it than I was.
Stop. I found it impossible to believe that any living player could be better than Asher. Sorry, Vincent. Yet another, albeit silent, betrayal of my brother. But I'd worry about that later.
It's true,
Asher said.
He was better compared to how I played back then, at least. But whereas I couldn't wait to sign with the club, he refused. Said he wasn't interested in playing professionally.
Why?
He was afraid. Football isn't a steady career and he didn't want the pressures that came with it. He hated being in the spotlight. He was worried that if he failed, he'd do so publicly and humiliate himself. So instead of living his dream, he let me live it for him.
He must be proud of your success. Proud or bitter, but I chose to give him the benefit of the doubt.
We don't exactly talk anymore.
Asher sounded distant. I sensed there was more to the story, so I remained quiet. I was right.
I signed with Holchester when I was 17. I was so damn excited. We went out to celebrate, but I left early because I had a meeting with Holchester's manager the next morning. Teddy chose to stay, and I remember thinking, good for him. He needed to loosen up a bit, you know.
Ash's laugh sounded hollow.
We went to a pub in a seedier part of town, since it was the only one that didn't ID us since we were underage. Teddy left maybe an hour after I did. He was on his way to the bus stop when he got mugged.
I sucked in a short breath, already dreading the conclusion to this story.
It must have been the liquid courage, but Teddy refused to give up his wallet. He got into a fight with the mugger, who stabbed him 6 times and ran away. Teddy didn't even make it to the hospital.
I saw it coming, but that didn't stop my lurch of shock. Stabbed 6 times. Jesus.
1 minute he was there, the next he was gone. And all these years, I can't help but think, would he be alive if I'd stayed with him? If I'd insisted he leave when I did?
Ash's voice thickened.
He wouldn't have been there in the first place if it weren't for me.
Don't, I said so fiercely I surprised myself. It's not your fault. It's the mugger's fault. You didn't make him a thief, and you didn't make him commit violence. What happened is on him, not you. Asher released a shaky exhale.
I know, but that doesn't change the way I feel.
He turned his head a fraction, just enough to meet my eyes.
There's a part of me that feels like I owe it to him to win. Like if I don't succeed, his death would have been for nothing. It's irrational because the two have no direct correlation, but people aren't always rational, are they?
No, I said softly. But not everything needs to be rational to be true. Long repressed emotion leaked into Asher's eyes. That morning, he said he liked seeing the unguarded version of me. The reverse was also true. This was the Asher the world didn't get to see. The raw, vulnerable one who hurt and felt like everyone else. Part of me was glad they couldn't access this version of him. If they did, they'd break him the way they'd broken everything else, hammering and hounding until they molded him into who they wanted him to be instead of who he was. He didn't deserve that. And they didn't deserve him.
There goes my maudlin talk again. You asked about my childhood and I gave you a sob story.
His warm breath brushed my lips in apology.
I should take you to an ice cream shop or something so your visit isn't all doom and gloom.
It's okay. I didn't come for the ice cream. I came for you. Asher swallowed hard again. Our chests rose and fell in sync, our breaths mingling softly in the universe of unspoken words between us. The last time we'd shared a bed, we'd had sex. But this was a different type of intimacy. Gentler, less tangible, but no less important, and rooted in fragile, blossoming trust. Asher tore his eyes away from mine and faced forward again. But when our hands grazed on the bed, I didn't pull away, and when I curled my pinky around his, he squeezed mine in return. We didn't speak. We didn't need to. Sometimes, actions were enough. Chapter 26. Scarlet. After a quick meal at his parents' house, Asher and I returned to the hospital with food and a change of clothes for his mother. Thankfully, his father's condition remained stable, but we stayed for the weekend anyway. We checked into a local luxury hotel, and their VIP services team escorted us directly to our suite without tipping off the other guests that we were there. We were both so exhausted, we fell asleep almost immediately. On Sunday, a disguised Asher took me to the famous Holchester Art Museum and a social media famous ice cream parlor, but we stayed at the hotel or hospital for the most part. We weren't keen on running into any paps or angry Holchester fans. We didn't talk about his father, football, or our relationship at all after we left his parents' house. We both needed a break from the heavy topics, so we focused on TV and books instead.
What do you mean, dinosaur erotica?
Asher's palpable shock made me giggle.
Like they have sex with dinosaurs? How is that physically possible?
I don't know. I haven't actually read one, I admitted. But my favourite author recommended a book by someone called... I squinted at my notes app. Wilmer Pebbles. It's called Triceratops and Threesomes. Stop laughing. And give me my phone back.
I have to write this down.
He gasped, his shoulders shaking. He typed the author and title into his phone before handing my cell back to me. He was laughing so hard, tears gleamed at the corners of his eyes.
Maybe I'll start a Black Castle book club. Dinos only.
Good. You guys need more culture anyway. I huffed, but I failed to hide a smile at the mental image of the Black Castle team reading Triceratops and Threesomes together. Now that would be a sight to see. Despite my weekend stay in Holchester, I never met Ash's father. It was just as well. I didn't think I'd be able to hold back some choice words for the man. He got discharged on Monday. Asher said an obligatory goodbye to him, and we gave his mother a lengthier farewell before we drove back to London. The ride seemed faster this time, or maybe it was because I didn't want to leave Asher yet. Given the situation, I'd called in sick to work and cancelled our training today, which meant I wouldn't see him again until Wednesday.
I know I said this already, but thank you for coming with me,
Asher said halfway through the drive.
It helped, truly.
To mention it, that DIY Sunday bar at the ice cream parlor was worth it. His laugh warmed me more than the sunshine filtering through the windows. We meandered in and out of conversation, letting the radio music take over when necessary until we reached London's city limits.
Do you want me to drop you off at home?
Asher asked. His tone was casual, almost too casual. I slid a sideways glance at him. He stared straight ahead, his pose relaxed, but a splash of tension coated the black leather interior. Was he indirectly asking whether I wanted to continue hanging out? Would I come off as too needy if I suggested another activity for us instead of going home? Or was I overthinking a completely innocent question? I wished I could text Karina for advice, but then it would look like I was ignoring him. Yes, please, I finally said. I had to change regardless. I bought a dress at the hotel's boutique yesterday, but I'd been wearing the same outfit for almost 2 days.
Okay.
There, that carefully neutral tone. Was it my imagination or was it covering up a touch of disappointment? But I'm pretty hungry, I ventured. Maybe we should grab a bite to eat first?
That's a good idea,
he said quickly.
I know a great Indian place. It's not on the way to your flat, but I can drop you off and pick you up later if you're interested in checking it out. It's a bit too early for dinner anyway.
My heart ricocheted in my chest. That sounded awfully close to a date. Okay.
Okay.
This time a smile accompanied his reply. When Asher dropped me off, we agreed to meet again in 2 hours. It was enough time for me to take a quick bath, indulge in some gentle yoga, and get ready. After 15 minutes of staring at my closet and several frantic texts to Karina and Brooklyn, I settled on a cute top and skirt combo. I just finished my makeup when Asher returned, freshly showered and smelling like a delicious mix of soap and aftershave. His appreciative gaze carved a trail up my legs and neck before settling on my face. Little fireflies danced over my skin, lighting me up.
You ready?
The deep timbre of his voice ghosted down my spine. Yes. I tamped down the flutters and followed him to his car, where he pulled out a baseball cap and black-rimmed glasses.
Disguise,
he explained. Does that actually work? It was so simple. It felt like Superman disguising himself as Clark Kent with similar glasses.
You'd be surprised. Most people don't expect to run into anyone famous on the street, so if you're low-key enough, you can slip right by.
I hate to tell you this, but have you looked in a mirror? I asked archly. Your face is not slipping by anyone. Even if he weren't famous, Asher was gorgeous enough to turn heads everywhere he went.
Is that your way of calling me good-looking?
He sounded entirely too pleased about that. You know you are. Also, you get one compliment per day. Don't try to fish for more.
Noted.
Laughter glimmered beneath his voice.
I'll wait until midnight to fish again.
Despite my skepticism, he was right. Most people didn't spare us a second glance when we parked and walked to the restaurant. A group of female uni students did a double take as we passed, but I couldn't tell whether that was because they recognized him or simply thought he was fit. Either way, they didn't approach us. The restaurant was packed for dinner, but we were able to snag a corner table near the kitchen. Since Asher was the expert here, I let him order for the both of us.
Noah told me about this place,
he said.
Kind of embarrassing for a Londoner to get food wrecks from an American, but the food is so good I can't be mad.
Noah?
Wilson, our goalkeeper.
An image surfaced of a tall, scowly man with dirty blonde hair and blue eyes. Noah, of course. There weren't many Americans in the Premier League, so his signing with Blackcastle had been a big deal a few years ago. Are you guys close? I ripped off a piece of naan and dipped it in chutney. Vincent constantly partied with the team, but Asher obviously wasn't part of those nights out.
I wouldn't say we're best friends, but I talked to him and Adil the most out of anyone at the club. Adil's one of our midfielders.
He added.
They're the only ones who don't act weird around me when Vincent's there.
I could only imagine. The team's loyalties must have been split between their captain and their lead scorer. So who do you talk to when you need advice or have big news to share? I asked. Besides your family. Asher shrugged.
Depends on the issue. If it's PR related, I talk to Sloan, our publicist. If it's football related, I talk to Coach. Noah and Adil too. They give good advice when they're not being idiots.
I'm not talking about business stuff, I said gently. For example, if I hadn't been with you on Saturday, who would you have told about your father's heart attack? He stared at me. The seconds ticked by with agonizing slowness until he averted his gaze.
I don't know,
he said.
No one, I guess.
An iron fist squeezed my heart. His old team hated him, his new team was wary of him, and everyone else probably either sucked up to him or wanted to use him. I couldn't imagine how lonely that must feel. Asher was surrounded by fans and hangers-on every day, but sometimes people felt the loneliest in a crowd. Well, if you ever need a sounding board, I'm here, I said. Therapist in another life and all that. A faint smile wisped around his mouth.
Thank you.
Our server returned with our food, and Asher waited until he was gone before continuing.
If I gave you a pound every time I said those words to you, you'd drain my bank account.
I mean, if that's what you feel called to do, I won't stop you. London rent is expensive. His smile blossomed into a low laugh. Pride unfolded in my chest as we dug into the food. Asher was right, it was delicious, and our silence as we ate was a testament to that. I went in for seconds as my phone buzzed against my leg. It was probably Karina digging for updates or Brooklyn confirming our upcoming coffee date, but I'd text them back later. I had something else to discuss, and we'd put it off for too long. So, I snuck a peek around us to make sure no one was eavesdropping. Should we talk about what happened on Friday? The look Asher gave me could have melted a glacier.
Which part?
He drawled. Velvet braided his voice. Just like that, my mind hurtled into the past. Past the hospital, past our drive to Holchester and my speech about Pluto, all the way back to when we were tangled in my bed, our bodies slick and hot against the sheets. You know which part, I hissed, my cheeks flaming. I'm talking about when we,
Gave each other mind-blowing orgasms for the first time?
Shh. My face was hot enough to reheat any leftovers from dinner. Do you want to end up in the tabloids? The speech I gave him for why we wouldn't work after our first kiss was rooted in truth. I didn't want the press digging into my life for dirt. I didn't want to relive the accident again, nor did I want them nitpicking everything I did and wore. The scrutiny wouldn't be as intense as if I were, say, a member of the royal family, but it would still exist, and it made my anxiety want to run screaming.
No, I don't.
Asher's expression sobered.
But you're right. We should talk about what a relationship would mean.
The clatter of plates and glasses around us filled the empty pockets of our conversation. What exactly was our relationship? Were we dating now, or had Friday night been a one-time thing? Both options twisted me with unease. I didn't want a one-night stand, but an official relationship sounded so, well, official. I liked Asher more than I'd ever liked anyone, but my last relationship had ended in disaster, and I wasn't eager to repeat the experience. He wasn't my ex, but I couldn't discount the little voice telling me that no matter how well things were going in the present, they could always go wrong in the future.
Do you want a relationship?
It was like Asher read my mind.
Or do you want something else?
His expression didn't change, but his eyes were sharp and cautious in the face of my silence. I hesitated, trying to organize my thoughts into a coherent response. I don't want to see anyone else, and I don't want you to see anyone else. But I'm also not ready for a serious relationship until we've figured out our issues, with my brother, the Paps, everything. Everything's happening so fast, and I'm scared. I didn't say it, but Asher must have heard it somehow anyway. The tension that had crawled into his shoulders when I said I wasn't ready for a serious relationship relaxed.
Fair enough. So it'll be an exclusive non-relationship with dates and sex and many shared memes.
A soft puff of laughter escaped my lips. Yes. It was basically a real relationship in everything but name. But that was enough for now. I'd never dated someone with Asher's public profile before. I needed to know what I was getting myself into before I inadvertently got burned again. However, I was glad it was exclusive. The thought of Asher with someone else made me squirm with jealousy.
I can't control the Paps,
he said, bringing the conversation back to one of our main issues.
But Sloane has her ways of keeping them in line. They're more scared of her than they are of most publicists.
True. A sliver of hope entered my heart. And people make it work, I added optimistically. There are lots of celebrities with non-famous partners, and they're not in the news every day.
Exactly. After the initial spike, interest will wane, especially if we don't give them anything to write about.
We. That one word alleviated my worries more than anything else he could have said. We meant we were in this together. I wasn't alone. Warmth rushed to fill one of the tiny, fear-hollowed crevices in my chest.
That being said, you'll never have full anonymity again.
Ash's tone gentled.
Like you said, there are always people watching. It can be a reporter, it can be a fan, it can be a random passerby. The average person usually has enough decency not to invade our privacy, but you never know for sure. There'll be comments on online forums, social media posts, tips to the tabloids. People might make up rumors, and others will believe them, even if they're blatantly false. Our friends and acquaintances will come out of the woodwork with stories, real or fake, before their 15 minutes of fame. These are all possibilities.
The warmth dissipated, and my dinner hardened into cement sludge in my stomach. It's like you're trying to scare me away, I quipped, but anxiety pitched my voice higher than normal. I'd been in the spotlight as a prima ballerina, but that was different. I was recognized mostly by my peers and ballet enthusiasts. The general population wouldn't recognize a dancer on the street, even if she was the most famous ballerina in the world. Footballers, on the other hand, they were mainstream, especially in the UK, especially when they played for a top club like Blackcastle, and especially when their name was Asher Donovan. He'd never dated anyone for more than a few weeks at a time. The sheer novelty of our relationship, if we lasted longer than that, would drive incredible amounts of interest. It would die down eventually, but I had to make it through the storm first.
I'm not trying to scare you, but I'd be remiss if I didn't warn you.
Asher watched me carefully, like he was afraid I'd run off and never look back. I know. I appreciate the warning. I inhaled a deep breath. The idea of being perceived so publicly terrified me. But I couldn't let my fears hold me back from what I wanted anymore. We'll figure out the Pap situation. However, there's a bigger issue. My brother. Asher's entire face shuddered. You two have to sort out your issues for the sake of the team and your careers, I said. Do you remember why we started training together in the first place? The boss will be livid if your animosity carries over into the next season.
The boss?
Your coach. Armstrong. Vincent and I call him the boss because, well, he's the boss. I guess it's not very original. I drew my bottom lip between my teeth. Why do you hate each other so much anyway? It has to be more than the sponsorships or the title of greatest footballer. If I knew why, then maybe I could help them mend their relationship. I didn't want my brother, an exclusive non-boyfriend, to hate each other.
I don't hate him,
Asher said.
I just can't stand him.
Same thing.
Perhaps.
He leaned back, his face angled away from the rest of the diners. Luckily, the din was loud enough to muffle our conversation from the potential eavesdroppers.
This career is weird. So much of it is played out in the public eye, and we're constantly pitted against each other on and off the pitch. Competitiveness is in our blood. So, yes, part of our rivalry stems from the eternal battle over who's the better footballer. I can overlook that. It's par for the course.
His eyes darkened.
Then the World Cup happened.
Concrete blocks settled at the pit of my stomach. That damn World Cup. I should have known. The answer was so obvious, but it had happened years ago. I hadn't realized how long of a shadow it cast. Even though Vincent had been born in London, he moved to Paris and became a French citizen when he was 6, after our parents' divorce. As a result, he played for France in international tournaments. During the last World Cup, England and France had been tied during the semi-finals. A quarter of the way into the match, Vincent and Asher got into an altercation that resulted in Vincent feigning an injury and Asher getting red-carded. The loss of their star striker turned the tide against England, who'd been favoured to win the cup. Instead, they lost 2-4 while France went on to take the tournament. The ref got raked over the coals for his call, but it didn't matter. Side-by-side images of a triumphant Vincent hoisting the trophy and a devastated Asher walking off the pitch had dominated the news for weeks afterward.
He faked his damn injury and the ref didn't see it.
A muscle ticked in Asher's jaw.
If it weren't for him, I'd probably have a World Cup.
I winced, unsure how to respond. For footballers, the World Cup was the Holy Grail. Vincent had celebrated for months after France's victory. He got a lot of hate from England fans after the tournament, but as Black Castle's captain and top defender, he also had a sizable fan base that shielded him from the worst of the criticism. Eventually, people got over it and moved on. Asher didn't.
There'll be another World Cup, I said softly. That wasn't your last chance.
I only have so many chances.
Asher's eyes flickered in the dim lighting.
It takes place every 4 years, and a lot can change in that time. I have maybe 2 more tournaments left in me, and that's not accounting for any injuries or accidents that might take me out early.
There was nothing I could say to that because it was true. Most players will never win the World Cup. It didn't matter how good an individual was, it was a team effort. However, while this explained why Asher disliked Vincent, it didn't explain why Vincent disliked Asher so much beyond basic rivalry.
Long story short, your brother's a dick,
Asher said.
That being said, I'm not the one you have to worry about if and when he finds out about us. You know him better than I do. How do you think he'll react?
I gulped at scenarios playing out in my mind. None of them were ideal, to say the least. Not well. But he'll listen to reason. I think. He cares about his career as much as you do. Fingers crossed he cares about it more than he dislikes you. He'll be angry at first, but he'll get over it. I hope. Asher didn't look convinced.
He warned me away from you during one of our training sessions.
What?
You were in the toilet.
The corner of his mouth tugged up at my indignation.
He said you were off limits, but I wouldn't have a shot anyway because you'd never date another footballer.
I heard the implicit question in the second half of his statement, but I ignored it. I wasn't ready to talk about my ex yet. That's just like Vincent, I fumed. He's always butting in where I don't want him to. Sure, I'd wanted nothing to do with Asher at the time, but still, couldn't a girl make her own decisions about her love life? He told me to stay away from Clive, too. That reminded me. I needed to follow up with him after our date. Given the way it ended, I doubted he was looking for a second date, but I liked to close all my loops. Asher's smile morphed into a scowl.
He was right about Clive. That guy is bad news.
Because he's a fuckboy. Vincent said the same thing. You know, you two are a lot alike, I said. You'd probably be best friends if you didn't despise each other. I laughed at Asher's grimace. I wasn't kidding. They would make good friends. But they were too hard-headed to set aside their differences and see that. Hopefully, that'll change in the future. Until then, I could only pray and hope Vincent wouldn't lose his shit when we broke the news to him. How we'd do that was a problem for another day. So now that we've cleared the air, I gestured around us. Is this our first official date as an exclusive non-couple couple?
This is a pre-date.
Ash's darkly amused stare crept under my skin, flustering me.
When I take you on our first date, you'll know.
Something hot and languid spread through my veins. For the first time since we sat down, I wished we were eating at home instead of in a restaurant. I wanted...
Hi. I'm terribly sorry for interrupting, but are you Ash Donovan?
Our heads turned in unison toward the breathless teenage boy standing next to our table. I hadn't even heard him come up. I witnessed Ash's transformation in real time. His relaxed posture straightened and his mouth stretched into a polite, camera-ready smile. Shutters rolled down over his open expression. It was still him, but it was a shiny, guarded version of him.
Yes,
he said easily, his smile intact.
Wow.
The boy's eyes shone with starstruck wonder.
I can't believe you're here. Can I get your autograph?
He shoved a napkin and pen at Asher.
I'm a huge fan.
Of course.
Asher signed the napkin and the one after that and the one after that. After the boy approached us, the rest of the diners realized who was eating in their midst and clamored for their turn. The mood shifted so quickly and drastically that neither of us was ready for the onslaught. An overly enthusiastic fan nearly knocked me out of my chair in their eagerness to get to him, and I had to shield my face with a menu to avoid getting caught in the background of their pictures. After 10 minutes of chaos, the restaurant owner finally pushed through the crowd and forced everyone back to their seats. He apologized to us profusely and then asked for a picture with Asher to hang on the wall. Dinner was officially over. We quickly paid and left, but the anxiety I'd pushed aside earlier resurfaced even after we made it safely to Asher's car. It wound tight in my chest, cutting off my supply of oxygen.
I'm sorry about that.
Worry passed over his face.
I honestly didn't think anyone would recognize me. But once one person does...
It's okay, I said with a shaky smile. He was a teenager. They have shark-like instincts when it comes to their idols. We didn't say what we were both thinking, which was that the restaurant had only been a taste of what was to come if the press found out about us. Fortunately, the diners had been too busy fawning over Asher to ask who I was, but it was only a matter of time. Still, it could have been worse. I wasn't hurt, minus a few accidental elbow jabs and the handbag swings, and no one caught me on camera. Even if they did, I'd live in their phone's camera roll instead of the tabloids. In the grand scheme of things, our obstacles weren't insurmountable. We'd talked it out, and everything would be fine. I was sure of it.
Chapter 27. Asher. Have you guys ever heard of Wilma Pebbles? Adele. Is she a model? She sounds hot in a Flintstones kind of way. She's an author. Adele. Oh, Adele. Does she model on the side? Noah. You're an idiot. Noah. I never should have unblocked you. Adele. Your life would be so boring without me and you know it. Adele. It'd be like cardboard without glitter, ice cream without sugar, pizza without olives. Noah. What the fuck are you talking about? Guys, focus. And no, Wilma does not model on the side. But she wrote a book that sounds kind of interesting. It's called Triceratops and Threesomes. Noah. Adele. Adele. Like the dinosaur? Yeah, apparently dinosaur erotica is a thing. Noah. Adele. Adele. What the hell have you been doing in London? Adele. Also, do you think Triceratops fuck with their horns? Noah Wilson left the conversation.
Chapter 28. Scarlet. The next 2 weeks passed in a whirlwind of dance rehearsals, training sessions, and stolen moments with Asher. We wanted to keep our new relationship status under wraps for now, so we didn't tell anyone except Karina and Brooklyn. However, despite tension-soaked trainings and more than a few orgasms in both our houses, Asher and I hadn't been on an official date yet. Our morning trip to Kew Gardens, which I'd never visited despite being a native Londoner, not a date. Our late-night drinks at a secret bar followed by a tipsy walk along the Thames, not a date. Our weekend marathon of sex, food, and classic Hedy Lamarr movies, not a date. At this point, I was starting to suspect Asher didn't know the meaning of the word. My fingers flew over my phone's keyboard as I entered the rehearsal hall at RAB. I'd added Karina and Brooklyn to the same group chat earlier that week. I was a bit nervous they wouldn't get along, but I liked Brooklyn a lot, and she was new to the city. Karina and I usually had the same gut instincts when it came to people, and I couldn't think of a good reason why they wouldn't mesh. I'd introduced them when I created the chat, so I jumped right into it. How do you guys feel about poker? Brooklyn. Like strip poker? Karina. I didn't realize this was that type of group chat. Eyes emoji. Very funny. I thought we could have a girls' night at my place. Poker and drinks? What do you think? Karina. I'm down. I haven't played poker in so long, though, so take it easy on me. Brooklyn. I'd love to join as well. Just let me know when. Brooklyn. Don't worry. I promise not to take too much of your money. Wink. Scarlett! Good, you're here. Tamara's voice dragged my focus away from the chat and toward the stage, where the rest of the staff was warming up. She was one of RAB's senior instructors and the rehearsal director for the showcase. Yvette had a last-minute doctor's appointment, so you'll have to dance in her place, she said. My heartbeat skittered to a stop. Dance in her place? Yes, she arched her brows. Will that be a problem? No. A cold draft swept over me, peppering my arms and chest with goosebumps. Of course not. That's what I'm here for. Great. Tamara left to speak with the choreographer while my feet remained rooted to the ground. My palms grew clammy as I stared at the stage. Understudies rarely danced with the whole cast during rehearsals, and I was unprepared for the sudden call to duty. My job was to fill in during emergencies, but now that one came up, I couldn't shake off an angry swarm of nerves. I'd practiced off to the side during rehearsals, and I'd memorized every piece of the performance. But there was a difference between practicing on my own and practicing with the cast. This rehearsal would be my first full-length, full-cast performance since the accident. I felt like there should be a clear sign marking the milestone, like flashing neon lights or at least a heads-up call from Yvette. Since there wasn't, I forced my feet to move across the floor, up the stairs, and onto the stage. Warm-ups. I could do that. I've warmed up before. My heart crowded my throat. My excitement over getting the understudy role all those weeks ago melted beneath the lights and the sideways glances from the rest of the staff. They knew about my past. Were they waiting for me to mess up? Did they think my fall from principal dancer to understudy was pathetic? Stop being paranoid. No one's judging you. I took a deep breath, focused on the sliver of floor around me, and started stretching. 1, 2, 3. The silent, measured counts steadied my breathing and calmed my heart rate. By the time I finished, the churn of anxiety had slowed to a crawl. Tamara clapped her hands. Okay, let's start from the top, she said when everyone was in place. The music started and I didn't have time to overthink anymore. It was move or die. So I moved. The good thing about Lorena was that its choreography played to my strengths as a dancer. I hadn't performed in 5 years, but I'd lived and breathed ballet for 16 years before that. My body remembered what it felt like. After a hesitant start, I gradually flowed into the movements. Pirouettes, arabesques, grand battement. It was like saying hello to old friends whom I haven't seen in a long time. If I closed my eyes, I could almost imagine I was at Westbury, dancing for an opening night audience. This isn't so bad. You can do this, you. The sudden screech of the auditorium doors opening pierced through the music. It sounded like metal screaming. Metal,
blood, smoke. My veins flooded with adrenaline. My head instinctively snapped toward the entrance, ruining my choreography, but instead of the newcomer, my vision swarmed with snippets from the past.
Punctured lungs, broken ribs, shattered pelvis. With long-term consistent physical therapy, she'll regain normal use of her legs, but I'm afraid professional ballet is no longer a viable option. I strongly encourage surgery. Without it, she might never dance again, not even recreationally.
I stumbled. Sweat beaded my forehead and the air thinned in my lungs. The stage lights were so hot, I couldn't think properly. What was the next part of the choreography? Was I supposed to go left or right? How long until this damn dance was over? My temples pounded with tension. Scarlet? Scarlet! I lifted my head, my breath shallow. Shit, the rest of the cast had stopped rehearsing and were staring at me, their faces painted with varying shades of concern, annoyance, and judgment. Humiliation crawled over my skin like fire ants over broken soil. Are you okay? Tamara asked. She was the one who'd called my name, and her brow pinched with worry as she ran her eyes over me. If you're not feeling well... No, I'm fine. I straightened and swallowed the bile in my throat. I didn't hydrate enough and got dizzy, but I can finish rehearsals, I promise. I was not going to quit practice. I refused to run away with my tail tucked between my legs after one misstep, and I'd never willingly quit anything I'd committed to in my life. I wasn't going to start now. Tamara appeared dubious, but she didn't argue. We were already behind, and the other staff members looked restless. The music started again. Thankfully, the choreography came back to me, but I never recovered from my first mistake. I either missed my cues or I was off by a half a count, which threw the others off their counts. It was a disaster, and by the time rehearsals ended, I wanted to cry. I slunk off the stage, my head down, but I caught snippets of my colleagues' whispered conversations. What a waste of an afternoon. I hope Yvette doesn't get injured before the showcase, so the performance will be a nightmare. Why did Lavinia make her an understudy? She didn't even audition. Tears clogged my throat. I didn't blame them for being skeptical. If I were them, I'd be irritated with me too. I was so wrapped up in my mortification, I forgot about the person who'd entered mid-rehearsal until I heard his voice.
Scarlet.
My feet stilled. One blink peeled the shadows away from the seats and carpet, revealing a familiar muscled frame and sculpted cheekbones. A pleat of concern creased his brow, but his eyes were soft when they landed on me. Asher. The auditorium had emptied out, so it was just the two of us, and the echo of my name lingered.
Scarlet.
That was all it took. The tears climbed up my throat and tore loose with a small sob. Once the first broke free, the rest followed, filling the cavernous space with a humiliating sound of my failure. I hated crying in public, but my threads of control had frayed with each minute of rehearsal. I'd reached the end of my